This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedure Subteam Track 2, Legal Regulatory Issue, held on the 22nd of September, 2016. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room only. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now? Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to you, Michael. Please begin.
Hello, all. Thank you for joining us at this hour. I hope everyone is excited for today's meeting. Terry has stated, please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking, and raise your hand before speaking so we'll be able to give you the floor. So first of all, this time we have a present some slides that I think will be able to better guide everyone and guide discussion a bit more. We'll for the agenda this week, if you can please turn to page 2 of the slides. As always, the first matter of the agenda is to review the agenda, and first of all, we've already had our welcome and our administrative matters. As always, for SOIs, if there is anyone new joining the group or if there are any updates in regards to the SOIs, then I kindly ask you to please update those. Next, we'll be looking at prioritization, grouping, and dependencies of our topics. Last week, we did go briefly through this. However, I believe that there should that I'm sorry, I, rather than I believe, Phil and I actually took back the original schedule and kind of gone through what topics we feel have a an update, what topics are priority, where those some of those topics should be grouped, and what those dependencies are for each individual topic. I think this will better allow us to look at the overall discussion on the whole. And then next we'll be jumping into the base agreement. We briefly talked about this last week. However, this week we'll be starting with some of the high-level discussions, ones that we can discuss while not going into the details of areas that we're unable to discuss without moving further along on some of the other issues. And lastly, we have any other business. And I do believe that Paul O'Grady raised an issue last week where we had about the terms and conditions of the of applying for a TLD. I've moved this to any other business, and I do believe that this is one that we should address. All right, then. And Steve Coates has said that he has an updated SOI, so for anyone who needs to view that, he has put that in the Adobe chat. Okay, thank you. Terry, could we please move on to the next slide? Thank you. And this does, I know, probably appear to be somewhat small for Michael, everyone.
Michael?
I'll say again. Yes?
Yeah, it's Phil here. Nope. I don't know if, have a word. He's on. He's Paul, do you want to say something?
Hi, this is
Hello?
Terry. Hi, this is Terry. I believe what you saw was perhaps Paul joining the Adobe Connect versus raising his hand.
All right. Okay. Sorry. Over to you, Michael.
All right. Thank you. Terry, can we have the ability to zoom in on this slide each individually? I know the print may be somewhat small for some people, so thank you. There we go. Perfect. All right. This is wonderful. Okay. So I will kind of go briefly through each topic, and I have organized what I feel what the dependencies and relevant issues for each topic is. And at the same time, I've also marked whether that is policy, depending on what the final issue report has indicated. And then to the right of that, we have the days to complete that were originally given to us. And then we have the start and finish date for each topics that are in the overall draft the current time. One thing I would like to highly note is that I do not give complete, or I do not believe completely that we need to go exactly by the schedule that's already decided at the current time. I feel that these are merely placeholders for times where we could start each individual topic. I think that what we need to do is we will need to look at the dependencies and the relevant issues for each topic, and then decide at which point what we talk about for more specifically in that topic per se. Excuse me, sorry. One thing I would like to look at is if it would be possible, once we've kind of gone through the dependencies and relevant issues today, if everyone feels that they're on board with the how these topics should be grouped and prioritized, if we could look at getting a schedule kind of where it has all, for example, the relevant new GTLD reviews or other policy development processes that are going on, so we can have everything on a timetable and show where each of those PDPs or reviews will end, so we'll know when we're free to start looking at the material that was produced in that review or PDP, and so we can consider that in our own discussion. Go ahead. And I don't think someone has wanted to say something. No, just me. Staff, would it be possible to put something like that together?
Hi, Michael. This is Steve Chan from staff, and I was actually just looking for an existing resource that I knew has been posted on the new GTLD program reviews page. I think I found it, and so what it does is it lays out the number. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. So as I was saying, there's an existing resource. It's basically a timeline that tries to provide the time as well as the scope of activities that are underway. I can post that in the AC room chat right now. So there's something that does exist right now. I'm not sure if this is exactly what you had in mind, but hopefully it's helpful. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Phil and I will look at that to see how well we can use that. So first of all, let's go ahead and jump into the priority and the grouping. Just so everyone knows that this, just because some of these topics have a higher priority than others, doesn't mean we'll be starting them first. It merely means that this is the priority I felt that they have compared to other topics, and the weight of each topic per se. I feel that there are some topics that will require a much larger amount of time to discuss. These are, in my mind, the higher priority. While at the same time, we have other topics that we need to consider on a lower level rather than some topics that will only have a few questions to discuss in regards to, and instead of the ones that have the larger priority. So the less discussion in the way, the less priority, unless that is grouped within another higher priority topic. So I'm going to jump through here one by one with the dependency and relevant issues. And this, like I said, this is what I have already put together in my own mind. If I could get feedback in regards to whether it's not correct, if there's another relevant issue, I'd very much appreciate that. So first of all, we have the base registry agreement. We've already begun discussing this. Some of the relevant issues that I've found from the final issue report is, first of all, this needs to be discussed in context of the second level RPMs. That's why this is grouped together. There are some level dependencies on categories discussed in different TLD types. We've already discussed this in the overarching issues, and I believe we can use the base that was provided there. And this is also to be completed in Phase 2, which will begin May 1st, 2017. This is a rather large topic. It has a lot of questions that we need to consider, some of which we're only able to discuss on a high level today, so that I believe it's asking for at least 120 days at the current time, and I do believe this is a suitable number of days to consider for discussing this. So I just want to put that out there. Now, next we have the second level RPM. We need to liaise with the RPM PDP working group as well in order to not duplicate our work. And based upon initial feedback, we should concentrate mainly on PIC-DRP and RRDRP. If I have those acronyms wrong, please someone go ahead and shout out to me. And then Nexus also has a to be completed in phase two, beginning in May 1st, 2017. Next of all, we have, yes, this is also 101 days and it's a policy issue as well, so it's one that we need to begin considering at an earlier time, while at the same time keep making sure that we start in relative timing when the RPM PDP working group establishes their findings. So in that meeting, which means we probably may be able to start it at a later date, but at the same time, we'll need to, as Rubens has pointed out, we'll need to be making sure that we revisit the RPM working group to discuss matters that are not being advised in their working group. And it is a charter requirement, as Rubens has kindly pointed out. So our second priority, so this is priority group A. If everyone is comfortable with this, I believe we'll keep this as our priority and grouping for this. And then we have B. So for reserve names, I've put the relevant issues as ones that should, is one that we should consider the work of the CCWG on use of country territory names as TLDs before any conclusions. Alexander Schubert has put out in the chat that reserve names, the CCWG on territory names, according to my observations, won't provide useful input. Their scope of work is way broader than what we seek, so let's watch them but not wait for input. There won't be any. Okay, I believe that what we need to ask in regards to reserve names is on, and that we need to consider the top level as well as the second level in this regard. I'm not 100% sure what the CCWG on use of country and territory names is looking at, but in regards to their work fully, so I'm unable to comment in regards to that. However, if anyone else has any feedback in regards to this, I would appreciate that. It should be done. Go ahead.
Yeah, Michael.
Jeff?
Michael, it's Philly. Cool. I wonder if anybody that's on this call at the moment, are they anybody on this working group to do with country and territory names?
Yes, I am. Cheryl Engel.
Hi, Cheryl. Is there any chance you could give us a little bit of an update?
Yes, I can. I'm just looking to see Annabeth is probably in a more appropriate position. She's taken a leadership role, so perhaps we should listen to Annabeth first.
Oh, that'd be great. Is that okay, Annabeth?
Annabeth?
And Heather. Heather Forrest as well. I mean, they've got leadership roles, so.
The country territory names for some years now, first in the study group and now with the cross-community working group. In both groups, together with Heather from the GNSO. And it's true what Alexander says, or writes, that it's very difficult. We have found that discussing the use of country territory names seems to be very difficult. Because it's in the definitions and also the views of the different groups attending this working group are very, very far apart from each other. So I agree with Alexander, so you can't sit waiting for the result. And what we have discussed there now lately, and I'm sure Heather will support me on this, is that what do we do now? Should we put this work into the Eurogroup as well than the GNSLPDP. So, but we can support you with the experience we have had from before, and I hope we can all together come to a result that we all can live with. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm just thinking as you're talking, maybe we should have some kind of liaison between the two working groups or the work tracks, which would help it so we could somehow coordinate this. I mean, there's going to be many instances like this where there's obviously lots of overlap and there's a problem where we've all got to try and be as efficient and effective as possible and not duplicate the same stuff.
Annabeth speaking again. Yes, I think that's a good idea. But what the plans are now in the CWG working group is to we plan to have two more teleconferences before Hyderabad, and then a face-to-face meeting over there. And I suppose that in Hyderabad we will decide what to do if it will be just finalized and leave the rest of the work to your group, or if we should continue. And anyway, we should realize, I agree, absolutely. Please tell me if there's anything I can do.
That's great. So do you have a deadline when you're meant to finish the working group when it closes and do you have to do a report to the GNSO? I'm sorry,
The working group was established by the CCNSO, but it's just community working group, and it's a working group, not the PDP. So what we did is to try to find a way to find a way that we could work together on this and see if we could get a framework that could be accepted of all the communities. But so far, we have discussed the free radicals, use of free radicals, and it seems to be very difficult and very complicated. And it will be even more complicated when it comes to the short and long forms of country and territory names. And we don't have a final date to conclude, so I think that we should all meet in Hyderabad and see how far we have come if we decide to just finalize it by then. And then combine the two things together. So if we can keep in touch the rest of the time now until Hyderabad, I'm sure we can find a way forward there.
Yeah. I mean, to me, a classic example is obviously Hewlett Packard, obviously .hp, and they obviously couldn't apply for that in round one. So I would have thought, you know, they'd be very interested in applying in round two, if it's possible. So, I mean, that's a classic example, isn't it? And then the other problem we've got is that when we say reserve names, it's obviously at the top level, but clearly there's, you know, the registries, they've got a whole list of reserve names which they hold back, and it's up to them how they do it. And to be honest with you, I'm advising a current registry about strategy on their reserve. So there's two elements to this as well. You know, as I say, at the top level on the... So it's very, very complicated.
It's Annabeth again here. In this working group, we discussed only the first level, not second level.
Yeah.
So that was not in our mandate.
So the name of the game here is this work track should be doing the second level then, reserve names for the registries.
I suppose so.
So, Annabeth, thank you very much for that. As Heather pointed out, we need to we can go ahead and begin discussing this. I think that's a major factor of this. But before reaching any conclusions is the definitive word here. We need to consider the work of the CCWG. This is a matter I'm not 100% sure to say whether or not we'd be completely off limits at the top level. But definitely second level is, I think, would be our an area of higher interest for us to discuss. So let's, I think everyone seems to be in agreement that having a liaison, and with Annabeth and Heather working in this group, and very much appreciative, of course, that we'll be able to receive those highlights in regards to what we need to discuss. I'm not 100% sure if we'll be jumping into any more specific discussion, but when we do discuss reserved names, I would like to hear any updates from Annabeth or Heather in regards to the specific questions we'll be asking that may pertain to what the CCWD has already done.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It looks like Carlos Gutierrez is also a member of this working group, one of the CCWD's co-chairs. So. So thank you very much. Okay. Can we move on, or are there any other anyone else that has something to discuss in regards to this? Paul McGrady has something to say. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Paul McGrady here. Just want to drop a footnote on this space and just remind everybody that that group it's not a PDP. It's not the same formal process that that this would go through if it were policy development. And while I think there's probably lots to be learned about their process and that outcome, I still think that we need to exercise our independent judgment when we get to this topic. Thank you.
Aubrey, go ahead.
Thanks, Aubrey speaking. While I want to endorse what Paul says is that this group does have to go through all the information and make its recommendation to the larger PDP working group and then to GNSO in the proper PDP process, it is also incumbent on us to fully take into account what they do, knowing that at the end of the day, these are any issue or question that they've brought up is one that we need to have a response to, especially if we decide to take an alternate path. So certainly the decision is up to, you know, initially this group, then the working group, then the council, et cetera. However, and I just wanted to make that point. Thanks.
Thank you, Alfred. Thank you, Paul. So as Paul has suggested, the decisions or the policy in regards to this matter is something that we put together, but we also need to highly consider what the CCWG does. I'm sorry, I keep saying CCWG, but I see in the chat CWG. Am I saying this incorrectly, or... I hear no feedback. So I'm fine. So, okay, perfect. So CCWG then. I will keep that on there. So I'm going to move on then. Next we have registrant protections. This is a discussion that, this is a topic that looks at what is necessary for registrant protections, such as the LOC, for example. Is it necessary? For example, some brand fieldies may not need this. However, this was one that we need to keep in mind, and I did feel that this was somewhat relevant to this area, so I kept it in Group B. Staff, could we have the ability to move over to the right, please, to see the number of days for this? Thank you. So this one has about 70 days. It's a policy issue as well. I do believe that there are several registrant protections we need to discuss, and I just wanted to keep that in mind as we begin moving forward. I don't think that there are any dependencies or relevant issues we need to matter that we need to keep in mind while discussing this. I think we have a bit of a flexibility when we can begin discussing this matter. So we'll touch on this in time then. Okay. All right. Thank you. Can we go to the left again? Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, so next we have the IGO/NGO procedures. There is currently a relevant PDP. Okay, sorry, something that was written in the final decision report, and I do believe there is a PDP working group already established for this. Please correct me if I'm wrong. There is a relevant PDP for protection of IGO and INGO identifiers in all GTLDs and PDP on creative rights protections for IGO/INGOs. It's really the CTN CWG for fuller acronyms, country and territory, and cross-community working group. Cheryl, thank you very much. So yes, there is currently a PDP working group going on right now. Is anyone a member of that PDP? Bill from Mayor Brown is currently typing. I do believe Phil provided feedback last time in regards to IGO and NGO and whether they're a relevant topic for reserve names. Yes, Phil, it would be possible to circulate this draft, Jeff, we do have someone in this working group that is participating in the, Phil Corwin, if Phil Corwin is a member of that working group, would it be possible to get any feedback in regards to what that group is currently discussing so that we'll be able to consider their relevant worker? And yeah, noting that it is a PDP, I don't want to touch on anything that they already discussed. I believe that we'll need to discuss what they do not discuss. If that is correct, please, Jeff, is that correct? I'm asking a question. Steve, go ahead.
Yeah.
Thanks, Michael. This is Steve Chan from staff.
That's
again. The first PDP on IGO and IENGO identifiers, I'm not going to go into a ton of detail here, but that one has already been approved by the GNSO Council, and it is currently sitting with the ICANN board, where they're trying to reconcile differences between GAC advice and the final recommendations from the GNSO PDP. So the other PDP on curative rights, Phil Korn is actually a chair of that group, so he'd be able to provide an update on their work. But I guess for us, there wasn't specifically something that we were asked to look at in regards to IGO and INGOs. It was more of a placeholder, I suppose, in the event that something is not resolved through those two efforts, where we could sort of pick up the pieces from there and address anything else that was additionally needed. So in other words, the outputs from those groups is something that we may need to take into account, but it was not originally expected that there's something that we would have to do in terms of policy. Hopefully that makes sense. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes, it does. I do note that it is not shown as policy in the final issue report. But as Steve has said, we'll keep this in mind in regards to what anything that they have not talked about or what if we need to pick up the pieces of any matter. This does only have 40 days, I'll keep in mind, and I think that this is something that we'll be able to start at a relative later time, perhaps. And there may be some people that want to jump in this earlier, but I think perhaps we should just wait until the curative right protections for IGOs ends before we jump into this. Would that be something everyone be in agreement upon? Hearing none, we'll hear a little bit of background noise. Okay, hearing none, I'll just keep that in on the floor for now and see where we're at in relative time. Steph, can we please move on to the next page? Thank you. Okay, so that clue included B. Next we have group C. So first of all, we have the closed generics. This discussion is interesting because that this one may be applicable to the global public interest as well. So that is one that we'll need to keep in mind when looking at public interest. But at the same time, this is a policy issue. We have relatively 70 days to complete this. And I do believe that this was a bit freer to discuss, so I think we can look at starting this at a time when we feel is needed. Steph, can we go to the left again? Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So next we have the Registrar Non-Discrimination and Registrar Separation. This one looks at I believe, for example, there were, whether or not certain registrars do, for example, for brand CLDs, brand CLDs, yeah. A lot of times they do not need the registrar, they only need one registrar, so in a way, they don't need to consider all registrars. There are other issues in this matter as well. My apologies, I don't have everything in memory, but
yeah.
This does have a dependency on the CCT, so this is one we need to keep in mind. Phil, are you trying to say something?
Yeah, Mike.
Or,
Michael, it's Phil here. Michael, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say about the registrar non-discrimination. That's all to do with the vertical integration issue, which obviously I was on the working group with. I think I'm sure Jeff was on it with me, and that's pretty controversial to say the least. So. Yeah, that's the fact that a registry can own a registrar and vice versa. So, and obviously
yes.
the current a number of the registries are adopting that policy. But it's pretty controversial. I think it took us about 2 years to come to no conclusions, if I remember correctly.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. So yes, this is a rather controversial issue. Staff, could we go to the right again, please, to see how many days we have here? But we have 50 days. So keeping in mind 50 days, that usually means that we have less to look at. I'm not 100% sure why we only have 50 days, and I think this is probably because we have lesser questions, or I think we're only looking at more specific developments that have come out of the current round. For example, as I said, the brand TLD is one to look at, and I think we're looking at specific questions that address certain situations, so we're not discussing this probably on the higher controversial level than it was in the past. Jeff Newman, please go ahead.
Yeah, hopefully my mic works now. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can hear you very well. Thank you.
Great. That's the first 15 minutes trying to get it to work. Yeah, the reason it's a lot less time than the 2 years we had the last group was, we're not making the decision, or we're not remaking the decision of whether or not to allow registries to be registrars or registrars to be registries. That's what took the bulk of the time. We're really working on refinements and what issues were caused by the code of conduct. Did it unnecessarily hamper registrars? Did it not achieve its goal? Did we open the gate to allow registries to be registrars or registrars to be registries, but kind of have too many restrictions in there to not allow the registrars to be as efficient as the economists predicted that, or achieve the efficiencies that the economists predicted we could achieve? So it's not really the major decision that we had to make the last time, but just refinements on did we implement it right?
Okay, thank you very much, Jeff. And so I do believe that I am in the right understanding in that. So, yes, that's why 50 days is a better allocated time for this. Okay, in the interest of time, I'm going to move forward at a quicker pace. Next we have registry, registrar standardization. Yes, registry, registrar standardization. This looks at whether or not we should have a standardization between registries and registrars. I believe this is contract ideas. But this also, for relevant issues, this is to be completed in phase two. Registrar and non-discrimination, registry, registrar standardization are similar and can be combined, was one of the notes put in the final issue report. However, in a discussion with the staff, I've found that this is something that perhaps should just be left alone in separate topics. But all the same, we should consider them in a similar group, I believe. And at the same time, any community support for standardization of requirements should be considered in context of the registry agreement. So the base registry agreement discussion will turn into this as well. this also is a policy issue with 50 days, so I do not believe we'll be keeping this on a high-level discussion or a controversial discussion. let us keep in mind that factor. Okay, Star, can we please go to the left again? Okay. So next we have... so sorry, I must be coming down with a horrible cold here. So lastly, second to last, we have group D. This is our last grouping of policy or of topics we need to discuss. So next we have TLD rollout. This really looks at whether or not there was sufficient time allocated for TLDs to sign their agreement and to be delegated. This is a policy issue as well. It has no relevant issues as far as I understand. That is why we can have free reign over discussing this. But it's also one that should not require nearly the amount of days that will for other topics. So next we have contractual compliance. Contractual compliance is one where it is not a policy issue. Better yet, if we do feel that we should be looking at certain contractual compliance areas, and if we do feel that we need to change something in regards to, or that we should have a say in something in regards to what contractual compliance is perhaps not doing correct, I'm not going to say I can't find a job, of course, but some may have a different opinion. But anyways, that is a discussion we can have all day. But this is but more so we need to look at changing policy areas. We need to look at providing recommendations in areas rather than saying something in regards to contractual compliance as on the whole as a recommendation. We need to change relevant areas that we feel need improvement. So sorry, my throat is... very difficult this morning. So next we have the global public interest. This is a policy issue, and this has the development and implementation of a global public interest framework, which is part of ICANN's strategic plan, and the work, that relevant work should be taken into account. This is also something that needs to be completed in phase 2. I feel this is a very difficult topic to discuss. And it's probably not something that we can discuss wholly in regards to new GTS specifically, but it's something that we need to discuss on the whole. I feel that perhaps some of the members of the IPC who are looking at the current working groups or the current reviews of the bylaws would have a better say on this than I. If anyone can provide feedback in regards to that at that relevant time, it would be highly appreciated. So can we move to the right again, please, Steph? Thank you. This one has 70 days. So obviously this has a lot more time than the other two within this group, but at the same time, it is a policy issue and it is a bit more controversial than the others, and so that is why I believe 70 days have been allocated for this. So lastly, our last group,
Michael,
this is really for draft.
Again. Can I jump in? Yeah.
Yes, go ahead. I might grab some water.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sounds like a great idea. Maybe some room time. I was just going to say about the global public interest is that I'm sure Cheryl will back me up on this. On the CCWG to do with the IANA transition, there's a huge amount of work that's already been done on the global public interest, so I think we could tap into all the work that's been done there to do with that. Otherwise, we're, again, we're
going to
be overlapping on work that's already been done.
Exactly, Phil, and that's what I meant to say in regards to some of the members of IPC. But still, that is definitely why we need to consider that. Paul O'Grady, perfect timing. I was just looking for you to chime in.
Hi there. So this is Paul O'Grady for the record. I'm just trying to figure out what that means in this context. What are we really undertaking here? Because that seems like a really big job, and it seems more umbrella to everything rather than to just the specific, little area underneath this specific PDP. Thanks.
Well, thank you for that. So in my understanding from what the final issue report outlined, this is in regards to This, of course, keeps it in regards to new TLDs, but originally within the recommendation, the recommendations from the GNSO, there was a very vague mention of any global public interest. It's something that came out of GAC advice, and this, and then later was, I believe, interpreted into the PIC, the PICs that were introduced into the registry agreement, which is also a change that was applied to the registry agreement as a later time. And so in that mind, I don't think that we need to perhaps provide a recommendation in future subsequent procedures, but I'm so sorry about the coughing. I'll fix it by next meeting. But I think we need to look at whether or not we should actually have recommendation in regards to what is already put out there in the registry agreement that mentions public interest, for example.
Michael, it's Phil again. I think I'll jump in and save your voice a little bit and probably lose mine in the process. I'm wondering if this whole global public interest should even be in here. Paul McGrady's saying the same thing on the chat here. Maybe we need to, the full working group, we need to decide whether this should be taken out completely. I think it's such a complicated area, and I just can't see how it's a part of the big, big, big picture. It's really what ICANN's all about, to be honest with you. So I don't know, maybe that should be taken up on the next full call. Jeff, what do you think on that one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry, this is Jeff Newman for the transcript. Yeah, let's, before we make a decision like that, let's go back to the, I want to do some research, go back to the final report and to the discussion group notes before that. So before there was a issue report, there was a discussion group. Go back and research to see what it meant. I think it was in relation to the PICs and, you know, our PICs of the appropriate way to take into account public interest. So let us do some research. Let us take it as an action item. And I agree, let's bring it up on the next call that we have.
Okay. All right. Thank you all. In interest of time, unless there's anything else in regards to that, I think we'll take this back in the next call, as Jeff has suggested, after doing some research. Lastly, we have draft constituencies for draft requests for constituencies seeking input from supporting organizations, advisory committees, and other than that, this basically means community outreach, which will need to be done at a later time anyways. So noting that, this is the prioritized schedule, the prioritization of topics. If anyone feels that something is out of order or we should include this in another group, please feel free to reach out to me, and I'd very much take that into consideration. Jeff, did you have anything else to say, or is this an old hand? Old hand, thank you. Okay. So on the next two pages, I've merely put on here what the topics are, the topics and questions for the working track 2 are relative to each group. I'm not going to go over these in the interest of time. Instead, I'd like to jump into the base registry again. Phil, go ahead. You have the floor.
Thank you, Michael. You can go and get a little more drink, a glass of water, I tell you that. That's a very good job, really good job. As we agreed, I'm going to sort of start talking about the base agreement, but the way I started to do some research, and basically, we had the registry agreement from January 12, it seems to have had lots of amendments to it, and I've run off a second one that was from the 9th of January 2014. And then in between all this, we have the final issue report. And I'm wondering if, Steve, you could you put that up there as I requested? I want basically pages 60, it's the base registry agreement is covering 61 through 65. If you could pull that up, that would be really good. Then everybody can see what I'm going to start. There's about 10 sort of high-level, highbrow key questions that's in the in the issue report, and I wanted to start talking about those and getting your feedback on it. Yeah. To kick it off, if you can scroll down to 4.3.2.4, which is on page 65, there's a kind of interesting rationale for the policy development, and I think everybody, if you could read that, maybe if you want me to read it out, or we all read it ourselves, that was kind of I thought that was kind of interesting. So the development of the base agreement appears to be consistent with the recommendations from the 2007 final report. However, there are a number of elements that may require discussions within a potential PDP working group, as is ours now, notably around the possible development of different contractual requirements for different TLDs and suggestions on how to prevent changes to the base agreement post-program launch. Consequently, policy development may be necessary. And then that kind of leads on to the page before. There's, as I said, there's about eight bullet points with these high-level questions. So if we can scroll down for that, then we can start with those. I guess there's about 15 minutes left, so no way am I going to get through this today. So, can scroll down a little bit more. There we go. I think that's the ones. Yeah. So let's kick off with the first one. Does a single base agreement make sense for all types of registries? So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on this. I've certainly got my own views on it. Does anybody want to kick us off, or shall I kick it off, see what, the key thing is to analyse the word types. What do we understand by types of registries? Anybody got any thoughts on it?
So this is Jeff Newman. To jump in, again, this is my personal thoughts. While I do believe that there are a set of terms that are and should be common amongst all registry operators, I do believe that there is a need to have different agreements, at least different physical agreements, for at least some of the categories that we've mentioned before. For example, I believe that brands could and should have a separate registry agreement where some of the provisions that are in the general agreement may not apply, rather than doing kind of additional specifications like a Spec 13, which just makes the agreement longer as opposed to more efficient. So even though I agree that there should be separate agreements, there are likely to be a set of common legal terms and conditions that appear in all of the agreements. I don't know if that makes sense. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I was just wondering, does everybody on the call, do they have an understanding of what Spec 13 is? Because that was a controversial thing that was inserted in after 2 years after the original agreement. So, obviously to really solve a huge problem for the brand. So, is everybody on the call, are they aware of what the Spec 13 is? Because to be honest with you, I'm getting I thought I knew what it was all about. I'm getting hazy as well. So I think my understanding is that basically Spec 13 is that brands, because they're closed, they don't, every single registry requires a registrar. But because brands are closed, as in their registrations are not sold to the, at arm's length to the end users, they're just distributed in effect within their organisations. They only need one registrar. That's my understanding. So the Spec 13 was put together for the brands, for the dot brands, and I think the ruling was that they could have up to three, with the view that if they have lots and lots of them, they might require more than one registrar. But I think the default position was they had to have one. Maybe I've got it wrong. Maybe somebody can clarify that situation. But that's what I understand by Spec 13. And clearly, a brand, quite frankly, its registration agreement would be completely different to an open generic, because obviously the generics wouldn't have to sign a Spec 13 or wouldn't even apply for one, because they need as many registrars as possible, to be honest with you. So there's a big distinction there. So that makes sense to have a separate agreement for a closed registry as distinct from an open registry. Any thoughts on that?
Bill, Paul has his hand up. Bill, Paul's has his
hand up. Oh, right. Paul, go ahead, please.
His hand up.
Hi, Paul McGrady for the record. Thank you. So without getting into the details of what Specification 13 does and doesn't do and the problems that it solved or didn't solve, I think that the idea of having separate agreements makes sense because it forces the process to recognize up front that there are, in fact, different kinds of registries, right? That was the problem with Specification 13, which was all through the round one process. Brands kept saying, hey, we're brands, we're different, recognize that we're brands, and let's get this right. And frankly, staff and to a certain extent board just sort of ignored that and didn't want brands to be special and didn't want to acknowledge the reality of how registries would operate when diversity entered the marketplace. And even in the drafting of and negotiating out of Specification 13, staff dug in its heels and were prepared to basically say no, sign the baseline, and we had to beg the board to help us. So I think that the runway now seems to be clear for different kinds of registry agreements based upon the reality of what those registry agreements what the reality of how those registries will run and how their interactions with consumers will be. I think that hopefully ICANN has got its head out of the sand now and is sort of dealing with the reality that diversity means diversity in the marketplace. So that's my support for different kinds of contracts, because we have to sort of bend to the reality of the marketplace and how it turned out. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for that, Paul. Yeah, I'm just reading Steve's comment. I think it's very clear we should have a separate dot brand, RAA. I 100% agree with you on that, Steve. I was just thinking, as an action item, could ICANN get a list of the, I guess there was, off the top of my head, I think there was about 600 closed dot brands that applied in round one, and I'd be interested to know how many actually have now signed up for Spec 13, because I think probably about 80-90% of those dot brands have now gone through the delegation process. So it would be interesting to get the stats on it and see what the kind of feedback was. So could we put that down as an action item for next call, that we could get some stats on it?
So if there is a Specification 13 page that kind of shows where the applied for Specification 13 has already been...
Yeah, there is a page. There is a page on the ICANN site, isn't there?
Yeah. It shows. They did an indicator on there whether or not the contract has already been signed or not. But at the same time, I think Kevin and Kevin Cruiser has pointed out that a lot of brands have been granted the Specification 13, but there are certain brand CLDs that were not granted Specification 13. I kind of wanted to jump in here as well, so if I could just take the floor really quick. First of all, in my own personal capacity, ICANN does not, still even to this day, does not fully understand differences between a normal open registry as well as a brand TLD, and I still feel that there are a lot of other areas to keep in mind when considering what would be best for a brand CLD or what would be good for a brand CLD agreement. But that's a more specific discussion. And another factor to consider is that there are a lot of brand TLDs, there are a lot of TLDs out there that are technically brand TLDs but are not recognized as brand TLDs. Does the Specification 13 actually allow those to grant those TLDs to be qualified as grand TLDs, or are they just do they just have a an exemption from the code of conduct, which in other ways allows them to operate as close as possible to a brand TLD? I think that's something to consider. It's a very difficult topic because there are a lot of factors out there. For example, TLDs that applied for trademarks such as dot such and such TLD that kind of came into a factor when deciding those. But that's obviously a discussion on a much more detailed area, so I don't want to take the floor forever. We still have Rubens and Jeff, and we also still have any other business. I don't think we'll be able to get to any other business, so if we could wrap up with Rubens and Jeff, I think that we'll be good.
Yeah, Michael, we've got 3 minutes left. So, yeah, Rubens, go ahead, Jeff.
So, Rubens.
Thank you. It's Rubens for the transcript. I just like to point out that the current agreement allows any Spectre team or any exclusive use TLD, which is the other type of brand TLD, the non-Spectre team brand TLD, to opt out of these categorizations and start performing as an open registry. So if the agreements are different, then the agreements would have to have some transition clauses that would be possibly hard to write. Not impossible, but not simple either. So it's not just a matter of, I can screw it up because they did the same agreement. They did the same agreement for a reason that we have to recognize, that it works better when registries can move from one classification to another. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Ruben. That's a pretty good point, actually. As you said it, I was thinking the same thing. As you said, because there's that possibility that if you've got a closed brand and you hit 50,000 registrations, you can flip out into it. You have to, or you've got no choice. You have to become an open registry. I think that's in the rules there. So, again, that's just another complication in this whole thing. There's many, many things to discuss here. Yeah, I think... Jeff, you're saying we're running low on time, and we are. We're down to like 2 minutes. So I guess, Michael, we probably need to do any other business, and if there is any, and close up the meeting.
Yes. So I just want to grab what Paul McGrady has to say. Staff, could you please put what Jeff has written in the perfect. Thank you. You've already put it in the notes. Very much appreciated. Paul McGrady, please go ahead lastly, and then we'll wrap this up.
Thanks, Paul McGrady, for the record. I would just like for us to make sure we carry over my question about the terms and conditions in the applicant guidebook into the next calls, any other business, and maybe even address it at the beginning. I just don't want it to get lost. Those terms and conditions have had real-world consequences out there, and we can go into some of the details about that. And they're, you know, I think they're currently being litigated by at least one party. And so I think they squarely fall within our remit, and I'd like to make sure that we move it from any other business and onto our chart. But what I don't want to do is to fail to talk about it today and then have it get lost into the ether. Thanks.
Paul, very much noted and very much in agreement on that. Let's move that we're looking at adding that to our working plan, but at the same time, I just want to have a small discussion in regards to how far our scope extends in regards to that. And I'm sure it extends very well, but still, I just like to have a better understanding of this myself, as well as have a discussion on it for the group on the whole. So we'll move this to the start of the meeting next time. We are out of time, and I am happy to say that we are concluded on the hour. Everyone, thank you very much for your time. Our next call will be on Thursday, October 6th at 20 UTC. That's another thing. We have kind of looked at this timing, and we believe it works for the best for everyone. I haven't heard any complaints, so we're going to keep it this timing as well. So it seems like we've had a useful meeting. My apologies on being too much on the schedule, but we will see you next time, and we'll be jumping into more relative questions at that time. All right, then.
Michael, can I jump in? Yeah, I was just going to say, if anybody wants to you know, put something on the agenda for the 2 weeks' time, then obviously get in touch with myself or and we'll make sure it's first out of the gate kind of thing. Okay?
Yeah, so that's great. Let's use that email. If there are topics to discuss, let's start putting them on the email. I think that the email list, that would be really good. We haven't seen any other groups be using that yet, so let's start using that. That'd be very good. All right. Thank you very much.
Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.